So, Aaron, I saw you this year at the Love Supreme Jazz Festival down in Glyne, and I have to say, it was the best gig I've seen in years. You got the whole crowd going. It was so much fun. And my question to you is, how do you manage to work up that amount of energy in a gig?
Well, the Love Supreme show was a really special one. It was a very up for it crowd. It was a festival crowd. It had been a hot summer's day. They'd all kind of come from watching Erykah Badu and all sorts of amazing acts, and we were there as the late night kind of headliners on the Jazz in the Round stage. I just knew that on a gig like that, we just really had to just go high energy. Just use the grooves, the strong grooves that we've got on the different tunes, and just actually make that gig more like dance music, give people something to dance to and just really kind of get hypnotic with it. I put out five albums now over the years, and on each of those albums, there's certain go-to tunes that I just know are just going to kind of really get a crowd going on that kind of a gig. And I just then get really carried away and full of life and enthused. The vibe that the band are playing with and the vibe we're getting back from the crowd and so on. It's very, very special, and this is the point. Every kind of performance we do is totally different because it all depends on the audience and the setting, the time of year, and so on, and who's in the lineup and so on. So I know that kind of the Leicester gig will be quite different from the Love Supreme gig. It's not a festival. It's a kind of it's a city theatre gig, and so it'll be more intimate in some ways, but I know that there will still be the same kind of like heights of emotion, in terms of the intensity of sound. And really, I think what it's all about is communication. I think kind of as a musician, and the way I play, and what I want to give out from the instrument and from the band and that energy that we're emitting, it's all about communication and trying to kind of get into people's hearts, and just connect with them. And I just think whatever gig we do, that's what I aim to do. It doesn't matter what I'm playing, whether I'm playing to kids in a primary school, whether I'm playing at the Royal Albert Hall, Love Supreme, the Y Theatre, Leicester, it doesn't matter. It's just kind of like all about energy and passing on the musical vibe. So it'll be special. I know it. I know it.
It's going to be an awesome gig. So, a couple of other questions then. You mentioned your album. So, you released a new album this year, Secluded in Light. It's a great title. So,
Thank you.
just tell me about the album. So, when did you write it? What's on it? Is there a favorite track? Why the title? So, tell me a bit more about the album.
Okay, so the album Secluded in Light came out this year. It came out in March and we toured it and didn't get a chance to come to Leicester at the time when we were touring March, April, May, but really happy to be coming to play now. And I think the music on it was created and recorded during the lockdown. So I set to work making it maybe at the I started the process at the very end of 2019, recording some drums and just getting, just to slowly kind of plug away at it. And then a few months later, and didn't do much with it from that point. A few months later, the lockdown hit and all my gigs stopped, all my theatre work stopped. I was at home, like everybody in many ways. And with families, I was looking after my children and homeschooling and so on and so on and so on. And whenever I got the chance at night time, I would just work on the album. I think one of the things I was worried about at the time, we knew very little about COVID at the time. And I was concerned about the impact it might have on my lungs if I were to catch it and all of that kind of stuff and my capability to play music. And so I knew that actually it would be a really, really good thing just for me to get a lot of my clarinet recorded. Now, often when I'm self-producing my albums, I'll leave the clarinet and the horns till the end. I'll make all the backing tracks and get all the vibes right before putting on what's almost like the vocal line, the clarinet line. But with this, because actually I was feeling very strong musically with the clarinet, because I'd just done a whole week of concerts in Leicester, in fact, like in
Really?
school. Yeah, across the Spark Festival. So I was really kind of my lips were very strong. I was really on fire, really. So it was a good time to just get straight into playing the clarinet, and that really helped motivate the creation of the album. And bit by bit, through the lockdown, I started adding more instruments, editing the tunes, working at night, plugging away at it. Doing the bass lines, doing the keyboards, the synths, the guitar, elements of percussion. And then later I got the opportunity to bring some of my regular horn players into the studio to carry on with it. And that was that. And a lot of the music came from that period. A lot of it was about the desire for peace. A lot of it was made in the shadow of grief. My father had passed away at the near the start of the lockdown in May 2020. There was a huge amount of grief just in society in terms of personal losses and societal losses and just changes to our lifestyle and so on. And so a lot of the pieces of music also took that kind of character. Sometimes there was elements of kind of embracing nature on the album, tunes like Sister Green. To go back to what I was saying about grief, tunes like Secluded in Light and in particular Surrender to the Sea were all about kind of dealing with grief. And then there was a lot of kind of positivity as well on the album, where I didn't want it to be all doom and gloom, obviously. There was a lot of hope on the album. There's a track called Hope Springs, which is just that idea of kind of, it's got a pulse. It's a typical Room Ghost tune with a pulsating rhythm and driving bass line and big drums, and we open our concerts with that, and a very just earnest, hopeful melody. So there's lots of different styles on it. A lot of it also then was quite ambient. So it's a lovely album to listen to. And when we take it live, I sort of take a handful of the tunes from the album and just bring them up to date into the spirit of live performance, you know. Generally, some of the more upbeat tunes are the ones that kind of get played, but then also there's some of the more soporific, gentle ones. So I'm very pleased with Secluded in Light. And the title Secluded is a neologism, a word that I kind of almost formed myself. And it was a mixture of secluded and recluse. And that very much characterized how I was feeling and where what I almost thought my identity was through that period. But I think of the idea of being secluded as a very attractive prospect, you know. You're it's a very comfortable way to be, and secluded then for me was that idea of being comfortable in being reclusive. And then the idea of light was, you know, just that for me, I equated light with sound and the way that sound and music would just illuminate my being, my heart, my desire to just keep going, you know. And also sometimes those quiet afternoons, you know, in that initial summer, you know, whether I was working on the album, light coming through in the afternoon, everything very still outside, and feeling myself surrounded and protected by light and sound. So that was what the album, and that was one of the pieces of music on the album. And I realized that that really summed up what the album was about. So we gave it that title. You know, it's always nice when you name an album after a track on the album, you know. There's I've never done that before, but you know, you think of your classic example is something like Paul Simon's Graceland or something, you know, and where the title of that track, or Carole King's Tapestry, you know, the title of that track is like really almost sums up what the album's about. And so We enjoy playing that tune, Secluded in Light, as well.
So now, look, we talked about you playing in Leicester. So you're playing on December the 8th, a Thursday at the Y. The Y, by the way, is a fabulous venue. It's kind of an old-style theatre venue. Tell me a little bit about the band that you're going to be bringing up with you. We know what songs you might be playing, i.e. some of the ones from your most recent album. I'm sure you'll be playing others too, but tell me about the band that you're going to be bringing up with you.
Well, in many ways, in terms of the lineup, it's a classic jazz quintet format, you know, and that characterizes how this tour has been. It was for me, it was very much a back to basics kind of approach to music making. So I've got musicians coming from Manchester, from Leeds, and also from Leicester itself. So we've got Dave Walsh, who plays drums. We've been playing together for 20 years now. An absolutely amazing drummer, with brilliant jazz player, really respected in the genre, but also kind of very adept at sort of playing the South Asian grooves that characterize the music I play. We've got a piano player called Jamil Sharif, who's from Bolton, like me, and a very, very great kind of melodic piano player, you know, just again, just really supports the music and in a lovely way. Bass is so important to me. So I've got Gavin Barris on bass, and again, someone who's played with me for 20 years or so. So between us, you know, there's a real kind of telepathy and great communication. A lot of very spontaneous things happen, you know, because they can follow my cues, my body language, you know, and almost I can lead from the front and just know that their support is there, and that they can then also drive the sound forward. And then also a very special member of the band who's kind of starting to play, we're starting to play a lot more together, is local alto saxophone player Marcus Joseph, who's a brilliant alto sax player, really eloquent and melodic in terms of his playing style, so, and his improvising style. So it really suits my style of music. And Marcus is from Leicester, and I've known him for a number of years through kind of projects that I've done in Leicester, and now it's really great that we're playing in a band together, you know.
Oh,
so
that's awesome. Yeah.
So really kind of looking forward to that. And when the clarinet and the saxophone play those melodies together, there's a real kind of joy in the sound, you know. For me, melody is what really characterizes my music. And so to have kind of the clarinet and the saxophone playing these harmony lines, finishing off each other's sentences, driving each other into different places, and then as well as kind of giving each other space to play, it's a really, really nice way to make music. So it's going to be great. It's going to be really special.
I know.
It's
so excited. Right, so my last question for you is, I want you to tell me a secret. Oh, who was
okay,
it?
Okay, I got an answer.
Go on.
My secret is that this all started for me with the recorder. A brilliant kind of special instrument that I started playing at primary school. And I suppose my secret, and some people do know that actually, you know, a lot of people know that, but it was, I suppose, the secret. And let me say that with the recorder, it became, once I started playing it, it was totally addictive for me. My life changed in that split second I started playing it, and thinking about music and how it fitted under my fingers. And I just took it everywhere, started making up my own tunes, started playing songs that I could hear on the radio and practicing and wanting to get better, starting to join little ensembles and so on, which basically is what I'm still doing now, you know. And people would teach me kind of Bengali folk songs, film songs. I'd be playing in all the different styles that I still play. And so my secret in some ways is that I'm not doing anything different now from when I was 7 years old, you know. And I think I would also add to that secret that it could, in that sliding doors moment, it could so easily not have happened, in that I wasn't going to. When a teacher came in and said, "Who wants to play the recorder?" None of my friends put their hands up. We were into football and mucking about, climbing trees, what have you. And no one put their hands up. I didn't put my hand up, and happened to mention it to my mum at dinner that night when she said, "How was my day?" And she said, "Oh, you should play it. You really love music." So I went back and said, okay, I'll join the, I'll start learning. And in that sliding doors moment, it got everything, you know, could have been so, so different, you know, if I never played music. And
What are you doing next year? You got anything planned with respect to making music? You say you do theatre. What sort of theatre work do you do out of interest?
I often compose music for theatre productions. I have a number of, you know, and you know, I make the score like, you know, like a soundtrack kind of thing. So this year's been quite a good year. I've done play a play called The Bone Sparrow with Pilot Theatre. I was involved in the in Patrick Marber's play Closer. I was composed music for that at Hammersmith Lyric. A play called Nothello at which is a reworking of Othello at Belgrade Theatre in Coventry. And so yeah, lots of different theatre things. And I've done that almost all through my career, you know, and not a lot of the pieces of music that end up on the albums are things that developed in the theatre. So a tune like Caliban's Revenge came as part of my score for The Tempest, you know, and a piece of mine from my second album called Yerma was from the title track of the play of the same name by Lorca. And the great thing about making music for theatre is there's a narrative, there's a spirit behind the music that you're creating. And so then when you're making instrumental music that I'm performing instrumental music with the band, the narrative history of those pieces of music then start to kind of inform the character of how we play and what the songs are about, and of course the titles and so on. So I really love working in theatre. It's a funny time basically for the industry in terms of the quite significant cuts that a lot of theatres and arts organisations have had, and how they're going to have to make things work. We don't really know what, so I don't know what's happening next year in terms of that. I'm hopefully working on a few films, soundtracks for films. But again, we'll see what happens. I'm going to be recording some new stuff. A lot of the kind of a lot of the pieces of music that didn't make it onto the last album, actually. One of the things about Secloosed in Light is that there was a lot of up-tempo tunes that I chose to leave off. And the really, so in a funny way, the really catchy ones. And partly it was because it didn't, they didn't feel like they fitted on the, in the spirit of what that album was about. So I made the decision to take off certain tunes. So those are going to be kind of making a comeback. I'm going to be re-recording those and see what happens. I've also got a project called The Canticle of the Sun, which is a vocal piece performed in churches, which has set the poetry of Saint Francis of Assisi. So we've kind of been performing that, touring that this year. And hopefully we're going to record that and do more of that next year. You know, my
That
feeling
sounds
about,
really interesting, yeah.
yeah, really exciting. A beautiful kind of set of poems by Saint Francis of Assisi, you know, in praise of nature and the cosmos, very spiritual, but just showing his love of the world. And inspired some lovely music, I think, that I'm really happy with. And it's really nice to work with vocals. So hopefully, you know, maybe one day we'll come to Leicester Cathedral to do it. So
Oh, I hope so.
it's kind of a piece that's designed to be performed in sacred spaces, whatever those spaces are. And so we've done with that, we've done Hull Minster, we've done St George's in Bristol, St John's in Bethnal Green in London. And yeah, would really like to do more next year.
For you. So listen, thank you so much.